In Bhagavad Gita, one of the most popular and one of the oldest scriptures of the world, we see a very practically laid out path for uplifting our life to the ideal. The ideal can be realized here and now. It is very important that in Bhagavad Gita you are not told about the life hereafter or about going to some heaven after you die. It is something that you learn here and transform your life here so that your awareness becomes that of the truth. The awareness is transformed when we get educated. And like when, even in the secular education that we take, what happens that when you are taught about something, then you know something that you previously did not know. And thus your idea about some object, like if you are studying, for example, chemistry, then when you study chemistry, you understand the atmosphere that you are living in much better, that you understand what are the constituents of the air that you breathe, what are, how they combine, and all that stuff. So your awareness about what is around you becomes more illumined, it comes closer to the truth. So by changing our awareness according to the truth, one gradually gets illumined. And when it comes to the absolute truth, what is theistically called God, and God is to be seen here and now. One can see the our divine nature here and now. And it is a practical science. One can just do it by whatever we are doing. Only the attitude behind those actions need to be changed. So Arjuna, the disciple in Bhagavad Gita, is told that, look, you have to transform your actions. The path looks very difficult and long, but there are baby steps you can take, and gradually, before long, you will see that you have made a lot of progress. The progress one can make by just changing the direction of our actions. The same action done differently, not a different action, but same action done with a different attitude, completely changes the road that we are traveling on or the direction we are traveling on. So the first thing that was told last class that we were seeing last Friday, that how one learns to change the life that is based on selfishness, life based on the conflicts and competitions. This needs to be changed into a life of active cooperation and understanding, the life of coordination, life of cooperation. That is the first thing. Whatever we are doing, let us feel that sense of oneness. We are all parts of the universal fabric. We are not a cut and dried piece. The whole universe is indeed one, friends. And the many analogies can be given there. One very nice analogy that I often give is the ocean and the waves. The waves create the perception of distinction. One wave is distinct from another, but all waves rise and fall in the same one infinite ocean. So similarly, all these different forms that we see, this form, the form of this room, the form of this city, form of this nation, form of this planet, form of the solar system, all these are kind of the waves. Different waves are around, they come, they rise, they fall, but they are really interpenetrated by the one existence. And therefore, we have to learn to respect that oneness of existence. And we all actually have the feeling of respect for that. Like we all understand that it is a good thing to cooperate with each other. Why? Why is it a good thing to cooperate? Because really it is oneness. When I cooperate with somebody, I am actually, if we look into the psychology of it, what is happening there when I am cooperating with somebody? I am emphasizing the oneness. I am removing the separation between them. To the extent that I can do, I actually feel better. We all feel this. When I do something in conflict, when I snatch something from somebody, I get a little pleasure of possessing something. But if I share something with somebody, then you see my happiness has a better quality and it is more lasting too. Because there I have emphasized this field of oneness. I have emphasized the actual truth of this universe. So it is told that when we go opposite to this direction, when we do not follow this idea of living a life of cooperation, then we are not following the truth, we are not following the universal law, and thus we get caught. We are like thieves. The example given there was very strong, very powerful idea that when we do something just for ourselves, then just for me, I don't care for anybody. I don't care for my brother, my sister, I don't think about my family, I don't think about the society around me. I just let them go to dogs, I will do what I want to do. That idea makes us imprisoned in the world, because we are acting against the truth. So it is like being a thief. Lord Krishna told that it is stena. Stena means thief. That you become a thief. You are snatching something instead of properly following the principle of give and take. Give and take is the principle. Like you go to the shop, you pay the price, you get the thing. Excellent. But if you just snatch something and start running away, well, it is thieving. In our society also, the society is based on cooperation. Yes, let us all come together for our collective good. So there is a system of administration, of politics, of all this. There is a system. And one has to follow that system. If one becomes selfish, then what we call corruption takes place. When we do not follow that system, that no, I want more from it without giving, then that is called corruption. I don't want to follow the law there. I want to just take something for myself. Then it is called corruption. It is bad because it is harmful to the social fabric. When we do not want to pay the taxes or want to evade it, what are we really doing? We are harming the social fabric thereby. The society runs on these things. If I am not doing that, then I am harming the social fabric and thus I am hurting myself. It becomes like the fool who was cutting the branch of the tree and he wanted firewood. So he climbed on the tree and started cutting that very branch on which he was sitting. So, he himself became firewood by that. It is like that. If we do not follow this, we don't understand that the existence of part depends necessarily on the existence of the whole. The existence of part, it doesn't exist. If it is connected to the whole, if it contributes to the whole, then it also gets. Otherwise, it doesn't get. In the next verse of Bhagavad Gita, it is told that, look, the spirit of cooperation is extended further. This idea is, like we saw last time, is technically called yajna, sacrifice. This sacrifice is the great ladder or staircase which step by step will take us to the great height. We get worried by the height, that we have to climb that high, it is flabbergasting, I cannot really climb that high, it will take how long I don't know, and I don't think I have that much strength to go that high. Well, you are not told to jump that high. There is a staircase that comes right where you are. Start climbing, take one step, second step, and the same ladder or same staircase will take you to a great height. Step by step, you will go to great heights. So, it is told here that if you follow this principle and thus take whatever you get from this principle, then you will be free from all sins, all defects. If you are not doing that, then if you want to get things for yourself, then you are consuming sin only. The 13th verse of the 3rd chapter, that the good who partake of the remains of a sacrifice are freed from all sins. But those sinful persons who cook for their own sake partake of sin. Cooking is given as an example that only for me, I won't share with anybody. Then you are eating sin. You are, this is a very strong language used here by Lord to tell that how, what effect it is going to have on your life, your personality. You are just consuming sin if you just want to have for yourself. When you try to do that, you are eating sin, and one becomes what one eats. There was a funny big board, sign board. It was fun that don't eat nuts because you become what you eat. So it is, if you eat sin, well, you become sinful. Don't take about nuts seriously. It is, otherwise it will mean something. If you eat pig, you become pig, or it is If you eat chicken, you become chicken. That is not the, should not be taken very literally. It is, the idea is that this attitude gets into our whole being. And thus, we get bound and we suffer. The result is suffering when we go against the truth. The truth is of the nature of bliss. So, when we go against truth, our life becomes miserable. It is, don't think, friends, that those who act in a selfish way, they get all the pleasures. Sometimes we get this idea, look at those people who through corrupt means amass lot of wealth, they are rolling in happiness. Whereas, you know, I try to live truthfully, I try to share, I try to cooperate, and look, I end up being poor. It is not so simple. One may become rich even if one is truthful, and one may become poor even if one is not truthful. How much money one gets or one doesn't get depends on so many factors. It is not that one, if one becomes this untruthful or selfish, one will amass lot of money. That is not an understanding based on facts. So, let us not imagine such things. It is, what happens here is that if we are selfish, then whatever we have achieved, when we are not ready to share it, then it all gets rotten. It is like having wearing a very nice shoe. You bought a very nice shoe, spending lot of money, and then you have put on the shoe, but it won't be comfortable if there is some stone inside the shoe. You, when you are walking, if a stone gets inside the shoe, then the shoe may be very nice, yet your walking will be full of pain. So similarly, when we are not cooperative and understanding and ready to give, when we insult this principle of oneness, then we are in for suffering, we are in for imprisonment. We get caught. It is not that we will not be seen. It is this principle, the law of karma as it is called. It is very pervasive, very powerful. It goes right into you and sees everything. You may hoodwink the cops, the police officers are there, they cannot watch everything. But you cannot hoodwink this super cop sitting inside you. He is always watching all the time, so it is not possible to get away. You will always be have to own your responsibilities here. So, it is taught here that look this cycle, how even at the cosmic level you will see how things contribute to each other, and thus this ecological balance is kept up. The ecological balance, we all these days are becoming, and it's a good thing that we are becoming more and more conscious of the ecology. If we snatch too much from the earth, too much from the surroundings, becoming selfish without paying proper attention to it, then we spoil our own lives. So look how the cycle is there. Everything in this universe has its place. We must respect that place. See how you get your food. It is, the next verse says that annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavah yajnyad bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavah. The 14th verse. beings are born from food, food is produced from rain, rain comes from sacrifice, and the sacrifice results from action. It is a cycle. Like the we all learnt in our primary school, the cycle of rain. And the sun heats up the, because of the heat of the sun, the water in the on the earth, in the oceans, in the lakes, in the rivers, it is continuously evaporating. It is an action going on that is getting evaporated. Then forms clouds, and then we get rains. These rains become the source for all our farming and other beings, survival of the beings, and that become then our food. Through food then we survive, and then we have to respect this, we have to give back, that yes, all these different principles are to be respected, that yes, all of these are necessary parts. If I feel that, let me, this forest, the timber is so nice, so costly, let me take it out and sell, the rains will get hampered, you will not get the proper supply of water. We are all seeing the effects of such greediness. It is, we don't realize, but it is like the same greediness that man became greedy. That hen was laying every day a golden egg and thought that let me take out all the eggs from the belly of the hen right now. And well, the hen also gone, eggs also gone. So our actions sometimes become like that. So this is actually a cosmic sacrifice going on. Just as at the individual level, a sacrifice, on a cosmic level, a sacrifice is going on. The action is done with deliberate attitude to cooperate. A conscientious action towards this ideal is a yajna, a sacrifice. You sacrifice. The idea of sacrifice is very important. Sacrifice means what, friends? Just see, when you go from, say, step 1 to step 2, what are you doing really? You are giving up the step 1. The first step that you climbed on to get on to the second step, now you have to give up the first step. If you say that, no, I won't give up the first step, then sit there, you will not elevate. Then there is no use for staircase for you. So, if you want to elevate yourself, then this idea of giving up, let me give up. What is given up here? Simple thing. It is only our dumbness that is to be given up. Do we like to hold on to our dumbness? Nobody wants to be dumb. So it is, that is to be given up. At every stage we don't give anything else, friends, but the dumbness. And what is this dumbness? I am a tiny body. I am only this much. This is dumbness. And just we need to give up that idea. And as we give it up, this is the sacrifice. And that elevates us. So this is the principle that is practiced even at the cosmic level. Then it is said that how our actions, therefore human beings do the actions, perform the actions with purpose, purposeful actions. So it is a very special feature of human beings, that unlike the other animals, other creatures, where the actions are all just instinctively programmed actions, they don't have a choice about it. human beings, they have this function of choosing, and choosing has this important factor there, and that we choose either according to our likes and dislikes, or choose according to what is right and what is not right. See, these two very important difference is very important. Choosing according to what I like and what I don't like, and choosing according to what is right and what is not right. I may like something, but when I think, is it right? And if the answer comes, no, it is not right, you may like it, but it is not right. One may like to get lot of money by telling lies. One may like it. That is why people tend to do that. One may like it. Is it right? When the question is asked, is it right? Then the conscience tells, it's not right. Every moment when we are doing something, this choice comes before us. Am I doing it because I like it or because it is right? If I am doing it because it is right, doesn't matter whether I like it or whether I don't like it, I am doing it because it is right. It may cause some pain to me, doesn't matter, but it is right, and I will do it because it's right. It is a great principle because of which one can evolve spiritually. When we take up this idea that I will do things because they are right, the whole gamut of action changes completely. That you do it because it's right to do it. So that is where comes the question of scriptures. We want to do things because they are right. Scripture means what? Somebody who knows better than us. This is again a special human trait. And we go to experts in every field. Suppose I feel feverish and I feel sick and I don't know what's happening to me. I am feeling terribly uneasy. Then, well, I don't know what to do. But there is a doctor who has learned these things, who has spent lot of time and energy in getting the education. That person is expert in that. And let me go to the doctor and take medication. If I want to construct a house, well, I need the guidance of experts. You know, it is how to construct a house. I don't know, I just cannot build a house. If I build, I know it is not going to be a good house. So I go to architect, I go to the experts. In every field, it is we go to the experts who know about it, and thus take the advice of the experts. So even here, how to guide our life, we go to the experts who have realized the truth in their own lives. Having realized the truth in their own lives, now they have the capability of guiding us. And thus they guide us according to what they have actually experienced. So their words become scriptures. Scriptures are not something only very old books. Some people have the idea that if some book is very old, scriptures have to be very old. Not necessarily. Scriptures have to be written in some archaic language. Not necessarily. Scripture is any word that has come from such souls who have experienced the ultimate truth. That word has now no other purpose but to help us on this path. See the consciousness of these souls. They have perfected their lives. Now, therefore, they have gone beyond all wants. There is no selfishness in their life at all. So, their words are not meant to mislead you. It is the intentions are a very pure intention, just to help you. So, these words are free from any impurity of intent. Also, they are free from any error because they have realized the ultimate truth. So, they are free from error and they are free from impurity of intention. If you, for example, want to go somewhere and you ask somebody, how does one get there? Now, two things are necessary when you ask that person. Firstly, you must be sure, reasonably sure, that the person is not there to mislead you. That is important thing. That person may know, but may be a cheat and wants to mislead you. Especially if you are on a treasure hunt, then it is likely that the person knows the road but will mislead you. So, or the person has good intention but doesn't know, then again that guidance is of not much use. So, if you need the guidance from those who have knowledge and have purity, both purity of intent, their hearts are pure, free from any desires. So, those words become the guiding words. So, it is the next verse is very important from that perspective, that how these guiding words can help us. The 15th verse, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishthitam. Know that action originates from Brahman, the Vedas. Here the meaning of Brahman here is scriptures. The Vedas or the scripture, any scripture will do there. Veda doesn't mean here only four Vedas which the Hindus follow. Any scripture that is meant here, that the truths contained in the Torah or New Testament or Quran or the Tripitaka of Buddhists or in the Tao, wherever you see these reflections in the Sufi mystics poetry, you will see the same truths coming out from their words. So, this is the action originates from the Vedas, and the Vedas originate from the imperishable. Imperishable, that is the absolute existence. It doesn't perish. Again, let us think of the same analogy, that the waves rise and fall. They are perishable. Whereas ocean remains. It is similar, just as we all rise and fall. You know, we are born, stay for a few days, and then die. That is the normal life, that it is rising a little bit, we rise and then go and fall, like that story of Solomon Grande. That is a very nice song. Solomon Grande, born on Monday, christened on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, ill on Thursday, worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. That is the life of Solomon Grande. So we are all having that biography. You know, it is the biography of any XYZ. But what is there in that kind of life? We should do something more to justify our existence, our life here. So, this rising and falling is only a wave. in that is perishable existence. As bodies, our existence is perishable, whereas as spirit, our existence is imperishable, and that is the ocean. These waves rise and fall on that ocean, they come and go, but our existence as spirit, as the ocean, is imperishable. So this knowledge, the Vedas, the scriptures, come from this imperishable. And therefore it is said that the all-pervading scriptures are eternally, they rest in the sacrifice. If you are following this sacrifice, this principle of sacrifice, then you are following the scriptures, and then you are also progressing towards the experience of the ultimate truth. It is, and if you are not doing it, next verse says, then you are wasting a great opportunity. The life has presented a great opportunity for you to realize this truth. It is a great opportunity. Nobody really wants to waste life. But if we are not doing the right thing by using it for the realization of this truth, then essentially we are wasting it. And it is a great instrument this life has presented for us, and this has the capability of realizing the truth. It is a great investment, and if this investment is not utilized well, it will all be gone in a few days, and we are here just for a few days. So don't waste it. This instrument is very delicate. Human body is a delicate instrument. It is not meant for sense pleasures. The sense pleasures can be had in other bodies better. Like a body of, for example, imagine the body of a pig. If our joys only are the joys, say, of eating and all that, physical pleasures, and we as human beings, we don't have that kind of great digestion like the pigs have. They can eat a lot, eat anything, it just gets all digested. Human beings have so many this allergy and that allergy, and can eat a little bit, as it is always complaints about food. So human beings are not really meant for those pleasures. They are for the other creatures. Human beings, the primary purpose is to realize the truth, because it is the special thing. The human life has this special capacity, and that has to be therefore used for that purpose. Like if you buy an aircraft, a jet, and instead of using it to fly, suppose you start it, use it for going from one place to another place through the lanes in Providence. It will be terribly inconvenient. You will not be able to negotiate the traffic on these, say, the Fonsali or the downtown Providence in your jet. And it is a misuse of jet. It is, that is not meant for that. That aircraft can go like that. It like it is taxiing on the runway. It can run like that, but it is not meant for that. Its basic important reason for it is that it can take off. It can go in skies where the cars cannot go, bicycles cannot go. The aircraft is specially meant for that purpose. So human life too is specially meant for that purpose. That is why all of us, all human beings, are fitted with this conscience whether something is right or not right. Whether we use that conscience or not is another thing. But we all are fitted with it. And we are human beings only to the extent we use it. Otherwise, well, we are just using our jet to drive ourselves in the lanes of providence, which is inconvenient, misuse, and, well, it doesn't serve any purpose. Better you'd buy a bicycle, it would come cheaper, you know. It is a human body, it is said that you have to spend a lot to get human body. The idea is that when you get a body, it is an instrument. We have purchased this body. One of a very beautiful Sanskrit text says that you have purchased this body. Body is an instrument. And we get an instrument to do some work. We want to, like we buy a computer, and for some work, I want to get this done, so I buy a computer. I want to go somewhere, I need a car. For a purpose to get something done, we get a corresponding instrument. Every instrument has a purpose. And human body has a purpose. And this instrument is very costly instrument because it has been fitted with so many intricate things. It is a wonderful instrument. So, it is a very capable in one respect. And what is that thing? To realize the ultimate truth. That capability this instrument have. And that is why human beings alone, they have this idea of religion. Religion sometimes gets, you know, embroiled in quarrels and whether this is my religion is better than yours or what. All those silly thoughts, they are for the use of the politicians, not for the followers of religion. Religion is basically this idea to make our goal clear to us and to chalk out a path for us to practically experience it. So, this body is taken up with by a lot of investment. It is said there that we have to invest, you know, to purchase something. So, if you want to have a very big palatial building, well, more investment. If you want just a small something, less investment. So when you are buying a human body, a lot of investment. And how do you get the money here to buy a body? Very interesting idea. And just as you get money, how do you get money here? The money that you get here is working for others. If you are just cutting your own hair, nobody is going to come and pay you for that. But if you do it for somebody else, if you put a barber shop here, come on, let me do it for you, then that person is going to pay you for that. So similarly, here when we work unselfishly, when we work for somebody, we that accrue, we get some a good karma. That is the money with which we have to buy bodies, you know. That good karma accrues to us. When we do something selfishly for myself, then nobody is paying me that. I don't get money through that. I don't get anything. So, the selfish works, they either reduce that or do not add at least something for us. So that lot of unselfish work has to be done to get a human body, a huge investment. And so it says, Mahata punya panyena kriteyam kaya naustvaya. that you have purchased this great vehicle of human body to cross this ocean of transmigration by realizing the ultimate truth and use it for that purpose, because otherwise it will break soon. Tarayavanna bhidyate, and that make good use of it for this purpose, otherwise soon it is going to break and you will not be in a position to make another big investment. Small investment, then you don't, if you for example bought just a pen costing 20 cents, so you don't worry about it, okay, I will pay another quarter and get it. But huge house, you have spent say $5 million to get that palace, and to lose it, that means you can't spend $5 million every day. It is a very important investment, you have to take care of it. It is not something that I can do every day. So it is said in our scriptures that human body, this is very difficult to get. Human birth, it is said that you have to go through 840 million times to get 840 million times through different, because 840 million it was the known number of different species. So you have to go through all these species to accrue that merit enough now to buy a human body. So, and it is not, it doesn't work, credit card doesn't work there. You have to pay in cash, you see. So you have to first get that much and then get the human body. Not that I will pay later, won't do. It is, therefore that economy doesn't fail like American economy, you see. Because it doesn't work with credit cards. So you earn and then pay. So it is said that after going through so many births, you get it. So if you do it well, it is fine. Evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartiha ihayaha aghayu indriya ramo mogham partha sajivati. 16th verse, it says, he who does not follow here this cycle thus set revolving, who leads a sinful life and delights in the senses, in vain, O Partha, does that person live. That person's life is in vain. Just his biography will be only Solomon Grande. Yes, born, grew, died, didn't achieve anything worthwhile in this life. We don't want to live life like that. We want to live a meaningful life. This great instrument that has come our way, we want to make the use of it for the purpose that it is there. It is Swami Vivekananda again and again says in many places that look, if we just want the different sense pleasures, it would have been easier to get some animal body. At least we would have enjoyed those pleasures better. In human body, we cannot enjoy even those pleasures to that extent. And since we are only worrying about them, we miss the use of this human body, the main purpose for which it is there. So, let us make this resolve that let me live my life for this purpose. And it is very simple. Even here itself we can get better life, better joy. Not only we will evolve towards truth, as a result of evolving towards truth, the characteristics of that truth will start manifesting in our life, and the life will be more peaceful, the life will be more joyous, it will have lesser conflicts and more cooperation, more coordination with the whole. When we are in harmony with the whole, then we are right. If we are not, then we feel the suffering and pain. So this idea of sacrifice, yajna, which will continue, and because it is a great idea, we will be continuing to discuss it, and not only in this third chapter, it will continue in the fourth as well as fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is a very important idea. We shall try to see the further aspects of it next Friday. So, any questions? Yes, Richard?
First of all, pigs are very intelligent.
Yes.
Second of all,
but you have more intelligence to understand that they are intelligent, you know. Otherwise, you wouldn't have understood that.
I had pigs that were pig eaters also. Here's what I saw.
Yeah.
Five times in the last 3 weeks, I brought Edith to do Christmas shopping and bring things back to Denmark. And frankly, what I was struck by, I looked around and I said, no, I know we're all one, but boy, I feel like I'm running right now. I think people have been mistreated by all the material wealth. They've been mistreated, and it's become a form of worship. It's really, I found it quite repulsive, but I had compassion, but at some point I just had to run. I couldn't stand it.
Well, that is... when some people evolve to that level, they all will feel that repulsion. It is the children, just as children, they are hankering for the Barbies. I want this toy and that toy and that toy. When they become, their understanding grows a little bit, they then don't care for those toys. So, when the understanding is low, we like to get all those things for pleasure. And one has to outgrow it slowly. It is, there are people, as you say, who are just embroiled in this. And then they don't come to Vedanta Society for the illumination, you know. You come, Richard, here for illumination. So therefore, you will outgrow this. You can feel compassion for others, that is good. And you can help them to buy whatever they want, but that doesn't mean you have to get into those things. If you don't want, if you feel disgusted, you don't get them for yourself. If others are taking, let them take. They make the economy go on. Any other question? So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvine Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko mantrah tasya namani yani karvapyekam tasya devasya seva Shri Krishna arpanamastu.